Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we take a look at your computer with Peter Green of Infostar.com. I'm Larry Mueller. I'm so happy to have you listening in today as we talk about your computer. I want to visit a little bit about the operating system with Pete and certainly answer your questions. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Pete, great to have you back.
Always great, Larry.
Let's talk about the operating system for a few minutes. First, I'm sure there are people who say, what the heck is the operating system? So go ahead and talk about that.
The basics of it is it's the instructions that are in the case. Let's go back a little bit. Bill Gates, a lot of people know who he is. He was contracted by IBM to write an operating system for their PC. And that's how basically Microsoft came to be so popular. And their first operating system was MS-DOS, Microsoft Disk Operating System. So moving forward, it's someone has to write instructions to say how certain parts of the computer are supposed to do things. So in our computers today, if you were on an Apple, you click on the top left Apple symbol and you get to a whole bunch of things that you can work with.
Yeah.
And that's really, you know, talking to the operating system of the computer and changing your preferences for a variety of things. In Microsoft, it's with Windows. Typically, you're making changes through the control panel. So there are a lot of different areas that are affected by the operating system. So other than using something like word processing or spreadsheet or accounting software, it's things like how does the computer interact with your display? How does it interact with your mouse? How does it interact with your keyboard? How does it interact with all the different things that tie in? Firmware is stuff that's actually hardwired into a computer to say this is how the keyboard will operate, you know, when it's attached. But there are programs that have become very popular, and we know them now as apps, which people buy. They're free. They are paid for, which is really, there's software programs, but some of them actually modify how the operating system communicates with its components. So
pretty cool.
There's a lot of, you know, people have done a lot of neat things. For example, a very long time ago, I downloaded a program that basically allowed my computer to say, hey, I'm hooked up to the internet, and it's a dial-in connection, and how is it, you know, it's communicating through the operating system to make it look like the user is actually interacting online. I wasn't doing anything. So it was all through the operating system. So it's a real basic example of an app doing something with the operating system to just do things for you without you being there.
You know, Lyman and McFarland has a question about the operating system. So let's go there. Lyman, thanks for calling.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just installed Windows 10 a couple of weeks ago and then had to change monitors and get a new one for an unrelated problem. And the text, the font with the new monitor is not clear. Some of the letters have like a heavy line, like an H. The vertical line is heavy, and then the rest of it is lighter, and it's slightly blurry. This happens in Microsoft Word, on Outlook, and some websites. Other websites are clear. Photographs and videos are clear. So I've looked on the web, and I just can't figure out what to do.
Do you have the latest drivers for your video card that's part of the computer?
As far as I know, the computer's about a year and a half old.
Just because Windows 10 installed doesn't mean that all the components that need to be updated talking to
it. That's what it sounds like.
So I would look for the video card drivers to see if there's an update.
Okay.
And you might want to look on the monitor manufacturer's website. And that, you know, they may be able to help you as well.
Mm-hmm. As far as the video card drivers, where would I get those, or how would I check for them?
Let's see. You could, the way to tell what's in your system, if you don't have a list, there's a couple of apps. There's Belarc Advisor, which you can, B-E-L-A-R-C, Advisor, which you can download over the internet, and it'll basically tell you all the things that are in your computer.
Okay.
You could, so once you find out what the video card is or what you have in there for video, you can, I haven't used it in a while, but sometimes they may give you a link to their website. Or you could just do a search on the video manufacturer, and their site may actually have a database of their models. And then it would take you to their support page, and typically you can click on a download link, which packages the drivers and allows you to install it.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I'll try that.
Yeah, give it a shot, Lyman, and thanks. You know, very much for calling.
We've talked about this over the years. One of the key things that I look at for doing system upgrades, because it's a notorious problem, is making sure that you have all those things before doing the upgrade.
Yeah.
Because if they're not available, and then you're confronted with issues such as the video display or whatever it might be, whatever component, at least you have a way to attack it and try to fix it. But if you do it after the fact, it can get very frustrating because one of those pieces that needs fixing might interfere with you actually being able to do that. So that's why, when you do an upgrade, be proactive and figure out what you've got in your system that may need drivers. So it could be a CD-ROM, DVD, player, could be some multimedia thing you got hooked up, could be some whatever special equipment you've hooked up, because you may find out that after you've done these updates that special thing that you bought, because all these systems out there, they're unique, there are millions and millions of combinations, and it doesn't mean that just because Windows 10 is out there that every company out there has done all their due diligence and homework and made their system ready for Windows 10. They may say, you know what, we're coming out with model A1 instead of A, which you're using. So if you want A1, we're not going to fix A for you if you go to Windows 10. You're going to need to buy A1 because we've done so many great things to it. We want you to upgrade again. So I'm just saying if you do your homework before, you're better prepared to tackle those things.
Well, Tom and Wanakee, speaking of Windows 10, has something I think relating to it. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Larry. Say, question for Peter regarding Windows 10. We've got, it keeps a pop-up. We have two machines with Windows 7 and download for free. And I understand that free offer may expire sometime in the future. And what's Peter's recommendations on Windows 10? We currently have 7. And what the drawbacks might be, if there are any.
That's a great question, and I was going to allude to bringing that stuff up because it is free for now. They said it was going to be a one-year window. I don't know if they're going to extend it. I don't even remember what the one-year anniversary is, but it's probably coming up here pretty soon. If you have hardware, the computer itself, like a Windows 7 system or Windows 8, and it's within, I'm going to say, a two-year period, you're probably pretty safe, and it's going to probably, react well to the Windows 10 upgrade. But with that being said, if you are happy with how it was working with your present version of the operating system, and you upgrade to Windows 10, it's probably going to be pretty similar. You may have to add more memory to it, and more memory in Windows is always good. I would say the new standard today for a Windows 10 machine, in my point of view, my opinion, is at least 16 gigabytes of RAM. Machines within the last 2 years, there are a lot of them that have that upgrade capability, where you could pull out the 8.4.8 that's in it and repopulate it with a different memory stick and bring it up to the 16. But again, each system has to be checked individually. Systems that are older than 2 years, so maybe a 4 or 5 year system, and they're still pushing Windows 10 to them, I would stay away from that kind of upgrade, because I've seen problems where people have complained the speed isn't the same, it's lethargic, it's slow, frustrating, and you know, I don't understand why Microsoft pushes that out there upon system after system when they really aren't capable of handling that upgrade. It's not to say that they can't install the upgrade. It's whether or not the user experience is going to be acceptable. And I think that with as much talent and as much knowledge that Microsoft and their team of programmers has, that they could eliminate some frustration out there by not pushing that on systems that really shouldn't be upgraded.
Yeah, we bought our both laptops in August 2012, so we're going close to 4 years.
Yeah, I would.
Boy.
Yeah, I guess here's the thing. Look at the hardware and see if you can upgrade the memory in it. You know, Windows, I said 16, you could probably use it with 8, but you should see if you have an upgrade capability with the RAM. See how much free disk space you have left. Make sure you get your video drive. I would say of all the drivers that you should make sure you have an update for Windows 10 would be a video driver. And if there's any other special equipment. And you could try doing the update on one machine and see how it responds. And if it's acceptable to you, then you can keep it. If not, you have an option to revert back. The other word of caution, there is a couple words of caution here. One is just because you update one and, oh, this is working great, doesn't guarantee that that second machine is going to react the same way. So I always treat, even if the hardware is identical, I've seen, you know, different paths that even identical systems take. And the other one is make sure you have your data backed up. Don't move forward without making sure that your data files are backed up. So your Word documents, your audio files, video, whatever is important to you for whatever programs that you use, because you could move forward with an update and you could lose your data. So don't accept that just because you're updating it that they're going to treat your system, you know, differently. They could blow away everything that's on your computer and you may not be able to get it back.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thanks.
Yeah,
Hope that helps.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Peter Green of InfoStar.com, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. At 1 o'clock today, Kathleen Dunn and her guest will talk about the history of the long struggle to win voting rights for all citizens. That's at 1 today. Right now, taking a look at your computer with Peter Green of InfoStar.com, Larry Mueller here. Join in at 1-800-642-1234. Maybe you've got a question about your operating system or your computer. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Mac and Clover, or is it Plover? Your turn. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. Peter, I've got a new laptop, a new Lenovo laptop with factory-installed Windows 10. And it has, this computer is maybe 2 months old. It has taken in the last couple of weeks to the icons on the desktop will rearrange themselves randomly, and no matter what I do, and no matter how I change the settings, and I've spent a lot of time online looking for a cure for this, and I cannot find one. Have you seen this or heard of it?
I don't really play around with the icons a lot, but I know you can sort them alphabetically. You know, if that helps so that you know where they're kind of getting put in, you know, where they line them up. I think you can also lock them in place. In other words, so that they're not affected. That's usually something. I haven't done it in Windows 10, but typically a right mouse click on the Windows desktop, and then you have access to properties, and then it may even say, you know, desktop on it or something, where you can make changes like that for your icons, to manage your icons.
Have you tried that?
I have not seen that. I have not. If you click on the desktop, you get a chance to view, a chance to how you want to sort them automatically, lock them to a grid.
Right. Yeah, lock them.
None of that seems to have any effect on this. So, I have an arrangement that I like.
Right.
And this just moves them all to the left side, randomly.
I don't know if that's a bug or not, and it hasn't been addressed.
It is to me.
You might want to type in, you know, Google or whatever you use for searching to see if there's a problem with desktop icons changing arrangement.
Yeah,
I've tried many Google searches.
Yeah. Usually what, you know, if you can't find the answer, it's how to ask it a little bit differently, because sometimes there are a lot of answers that come up, and if you read them, you kind of get an idea of the direction that, you know, what they're throwing in front of you might be going in the wrong direction, because there may be so many common words that you have to just figure out how to... I don't even remember what it was, but I know I asked... try to find a solution for a year, and I kept reading all the pages, why am I not finding this, and I finally came up with the right combination, and it, because there were a lot of common words in there, and you know, typically you look at the first or second page of results and you're like, well, I'm not finding it. So if you read those results and go, well, what can I say differently, how can I phrase it differently, and eventually it took me a year. And I didn't do it every day, but, you know, it took me plenty of searches to find that solution, so.
You know, I'll tell one on myself. I was looking for a tie, because I have to go, I'm going to an event, a fundraiser, actually at Olbrich Botanical Gardens in Madison, and they wanted circles or polka dots or whatever, so I type in necktie with circles on it. I just type that into the search engine. Well, I get $115 tie on this and that, and then I go back and I put cheap tie, and then I get one for $15. Yeah. So I had to add that cheap.
Yeah.
And it's already
made a world of difference.
Well, about $100 difference. There would have been no purchase at $100, believe me. But
see,
anyway,
you were using common words.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's adding that right one in.
I added
that
the
changes it.
Yeah, that changed it. Oh man, Keith in Green Bay has a question. So let's go there. Hi, Keith.
Good morning. I have an old Samsung laptop with 7 on it, and I've been having problems. It's getting kind of old and wonky, and a friend of mine suggested I buy a new one, and so did my son. So I bought a new HP ProBook, and I need to be able to get my programs and my information from the old computer into the new computer. That's one issue, but is there a danger that I could be moving, like, hidden malware or problems with the old computer into the new one when I do that?
Do you have an antivirus program on your old system?
Actually, I think I have too many antivirus programs on my old system.
Well, one
I
is...
I have, like, Norton and Panda and Malwarebytes.
Sure.
And I've been told I have too many that they might be competing with each other.
Yep, that's probably a good assessment. But you could run scans with each one of them before you move your data files over and make sure that they're actually scanning where your data files are. As far as moving your data files over is a separate issue than moving your programs. Moving your data files, I don't know what you're using, but let's say using word processing, you've got pictures, maybe you have accounting software. usually accounting programs make their own backup copy and they encapsulate it so then you can just move that file and bring it into the new system. So there are a number of ways you can get all those data files over. You could use a USB flash drive or thumb drive. You could have an external, you could take the drive out of your computer and hook it up with a kit and, you know, attach it as an external drive to the other system. You can copy files to a CD. A DVD is a lot bigger, so you'd have more space on that. You could email yourself files. And there you could use, cloud drives. There are cloud backup systems. There's Dropbox. Google has its own Google Drives you can use. So there's a lot of different options for moving things. The programs are going to be a challenge. So if you have the original disks or the original install files, you can try installing them on Windows 10, and they may work perfectly with Windows 10, or they may not. If they don't, you can try what are called compatibility modes, and Microsoft gives you the ability to go back to Windows 95 all the way through prior to Windows 10 and try to run it in all those different modes. It will even ask you if you want it to troubleshoot for you and let it see which one works, and it will go through.
Is it better than, because the new computer still has 7 on it, and I was going to put, you know, I've got the offer to move 10, to put 10 on the new computer. 10 would not install on the old computer.
Okay.
It would get like halfway through.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
No.
I'm glad that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Windows 10 would not install on the old computer, which is part of the reason I have the new computer.
Okay.
It's a lot faster. It's got more memory.
So which version of the OS is on the new system? 8?
On the new computer, there's 7 on here.
On the new computer?
On the new computer. So okay. I have
sounds like an old new computer.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, some of them do come, they've made, you know, Larry, there's so much inventory out there.
Yeah.
That, you know, they made ones with Windows 7 on it that said free upgrade to 8. So
right.
They're within possibly a 2-year window, but,
okay,
you know, there were a lot of people that called for Windows 7 and were not moving to 8 at all. And they just, you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So, all right, so you could put Windows 10 on the new system is what you're saying.
Right. And would it be better just to download the programs to the new computer like I downloaded the programs on the old computer? I mean, like Picasa and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just put on 10 first and then download the programs from the internet like I did the old ones on the old computer.
Okay, if all the programs that you need are available on the internet for downloading, and they would work with Windows 7, you could take the new computer, put all those programs on it, and see how, you know, see if you're happy with how it performs.
Okay, I guess the question is, would it be better to download the programs on the new computer with 7 or download 10 first and then put the programs on?
Here's the thing. If you put Windows 10 on that machine, on the new one, you could see how it performs, and if you like it, then you could move forward and start installing the other programs in the Windows 10 environment. If those programs that you need, that you want to use, that are on your old system, are readily available on the internet, and you can get them for the new system running Windows 10, then you can probably safely move forward. But if you don't have access to newer versions of programs that you're running on the old system, then you would have to deal with that compatibility mode, you know, for trying to get them to work on the new system.
Okay. I think I understand.
So I would say take the new computer, upgrade it to Windows 10, and start downloading the programs that you want from your old system, but they're new versions, and move forward that way.
Yep.
But You know, I would write a list down of all those programs. I wouldn't just like, oh, I, you know, I'm going to go back. I would write down like I have a checklist and start marking off, you know, and if there are ones that you have problems with, you know,
yeah,
you're going to have to treat those separate. Obviously, treat those separately. You might have to run compatibility tests on those, and you know,
yeah.
But that's cool. That's how I would attack it.
Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller. Call in at 800-642-1234. Doug in Green Bay up next with a question. Hi, Doug. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Question for you. And this is more asking if I'm doing the right thing as opposed to how to fix something, because I don't have anything to fix.
Okay, that's
about
good.
8 years ago, I got burned. I had a computer corrupt my files. I lost pictures and videos and documents and all kinds of things. And decided the way to solve this problem in the future going forward is I bought myself an external hard drive. And when I do anything on the computer, if anything I want to keep and save and not lose, I put onto that hard drive all the time. Anything that's in my computer is just stuff that I don't really care if it gets lost or not. It's more amusement stuff. So now with that hard drive, I also disconnected from my PC in my office, and I then connected to my laptop when I'm on the road. And again, anytime I'm using anything I want to save it, put it on my hard drive. So my question to you is, am I doing the right thing by doing that? What are my risks by, you know, because you talk all the time about losing files. The gentleman on the phone on the last call was talking about transferring files from one computer to the other. By doing the hard drive, you don't have to worry about all that. You automatically got all your files in any computer you want instantly.
Okay, that external hard drive has got moving components to it. So there's no guarantee that it won't fail. So having another hard drive, another form of media to back up your files, or using a cloud solution so when you travel, you know, those files can still be available to you as long as you have internet access, is another solution. You know, having an external drive gives you that level of comfort that I'm making a backup, but it is a physical device and it has moving components.
Yeah.
So thinking that, oh, I only made one copy to that backup hard drive, that's, you know, I like to make backups to the point where people look at some of my thumb drives and backup drives, and now they look at mine and they go, oh, my God, you got so much stuff here. You know, how do you keep it organized? Well, in my mind, it's organized. But for a Mac will take an external drive and using Time Machine for backup, that drive is dedicated for that backup purpose. And it will make backups during the day, for the week, for the month, you know. But it's dedicated for that. But if something happens to that drive, there's no other backup.
Yeah.
So, you know, the important files, you may want to segment out and make, you know, backups to another device, to a cloud account. There are a variety of services out there. If you go to Infostar.com, go to the Virus Info Center page on the left. And then somewhere, I believe in the top third, I think I have backups, and there's a whole bunch of links there. And I haven't updated that in years, but I can tell you there's still a lot of them still work.
Yeah.
Because there's just a great need for that stuff.
Thanks a lot, Doug, for calling. Appreciate your call. I want to go to Joe. Sent us a note on Facebook, and this was in relation to an earlier question. A caller was having trouble with new computer where the
video,
the wording on the page mm-hmm. was not really clear, mm-hmm. and Joe thought it was a screen resolution problem. He thought the person should just change the resolution to match the monitor's native resolution, and it should look perfect. And, well, that's another, probably the quick thing to do before the drivers, to at least to take a look.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris in Green Bay up next. Chris, hi, thanks for calling.
Hello, thank you. I've been on the internet. I use Google Chrome, and for the last couple of weeks, I'm getting several, when I'm on a certain site or a different site, another window opens up saying I need to update my Adobe files or something. And I've had trouble with updating Adobe in the past with different glitches here and there, and so I've just been ignoring it and setting up that window. There's no difference in how my computer works or what programs run or anything, but that window keeps popping up almost every time I use the computer, or every day I use the computer. Money, am I okay if I keep ignoring that thing?
The answer is yes, you'll probably be okay for a while. Adobe likes to update their stuff on a continual basis. Anytime there are new devices that come out, they basically package everything together. So if there is a new iPhone, a new iPad, a new Microsoft Surface, a new laptop that's got some, new thing. So they're constantly bombarding with updates. So if you miss, a handful of them, you're probably going to be just fine.
But you're eventually going to have to.
Yeah, I know. It's been an annoying nuisance over the years for a very long time.
There you go. I'm with you, though, Chris. I get sick of seeing those updates. Yeah. Things
because you could do it
time.
Today, and then 2 days later, you're like, oh, we got another one.
Yeah.
So putting it off for a little while is just fine.
Maya in Junction City, it's your turn. Hi, Maya. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I needed to change my password to Windows Outlook, and I did that, and after I completed that, it worked fine. The next time I had exited and then used it, turned my computer on again, I was connected to the internet, but it would not accept the password to my Outlook. I could not connect my Outlook anymore.
Hmm.
And I don't know what I did wrong.
And you're sure you typed the password correctly?
Yes, I am.
So are you, what kind of email account are you using? Are you using like a Gmail account or are you using?
It's the Outlook it's a university, Windows Outlook.
Okay, but are you using like an email address that's like wisc.edu or something like that?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you log into that email account outside of Outlook? In other words?
Yes, okay. I can, externally. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but Outlook won't take it.
Right.
You go in to make the changes in the account options and...
That's correct, yes. It was changed correctly. Mm. I had help with that. I had to go to the help desk to make sure I had done it right because it wouldn't connect me.
Okay. Is it giving you any kind of error messages related to any server connections or any numbers, or is it just simply when you go to log in?
When I log in just to the internet, it's fine. Mm-hmm. After it doesn't let me into my email, it does say something like allow the computer to, interact with this, something like that. And I said, yes, allow, and it will not. It just keeps asking for a different password. It's a Microsoft Surface 2, and which will not allow me to install Windows 10, so I have a Windows 8.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a difference, but...
No, usually with something like with Outlook, it's pretty exacting. If your password is off, it's going to keep popping up that login screen with your username and, a request for the password, and it'll highlight it. If there's a problem connecting, it usually throws back error messages with numbers, and it'll display some server information with whether it's SMTP or a POP account. Sometimes the username might be off a little bit. Sometimes it's as simple as there's a space in there. In other words,
the username comes up by itself, right. in the box to enter the password. But then I think I try the password so many times, and I really try to be exact as possible. And it might just lock me out after a while, so then I don't use it.
No, Outlook won't lock you out, not like an online account. You can just keep trying with it.
All right, I'll just try some more.
Yeah, so I would just, look at the, unless you're getting numbered error messages and it just keeps asking you for the password, or if it's actually not connecting, but you're saying you're connecting to the internet.
Yeah, it's not connecting me to Outlook. Mm-hmm. Problem.
I had a form I had to fill out, and I had to type in the Bayfield. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't working, and I couldn't figure it out. Well, finally, after about 10 tries, I look and I spell Bayfield, B-A-F-I-E-L-D. I left the Y out.
Yep.
And there I was looking at it, and I just didn't. Finally, it dawned on me and then, of course, it worked right away.
Yep. And sometimes there's a space before, sometimes there's a space after.
Yes.
Which makes a difference.
Yeah.
So it can be very frustrating too. And sometimes walking away from it and then having someone work with you to take a different perspective helps too.
Yeah. Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along on the Ideas Net as we take a look at your computer with Peter Green of Infostar.com. Great to have him along as well. And I have an open line. Get you on it pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Go to our Facebook page as well. You can post there our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. Just type The Larry Mueller Show in and you'll get right there. Or you can email us at talk@WPR.org. Judy in La Crosse has a question. Hi, Judy.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Oh, boy. I have a Toshiba touchscreen satellite I bought 2 years ago. I accidentally actually updated to Windows 10. I was very hesitant about it, but... I'd heard that the updates had made it better. Well, now I can't get online. I can't get to my taskbar. I mean, I can't do anything. Someone said that I should try. I read online something about how if you had an 8.1, maybe the drivers can't handle it and download this or that. Well, I can't download anything. Stuck.
So who do you use for a service provider for internet access?
CenturyLink.
Okay. So are you using like a DSL connection?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you tried talking with them at all?
I haven't.
Okay. Because it sounds to me like there are probably some settings that need to be changed that are just off. Trying to, make that connection.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, the download just bumped them or, made them
inactive. Because when I first did it, I could get online.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of got to be more and more difficult to the point where I can't get on at all. But, I mean, I can't even, I had somebody that suggested I should try, like, a system restore. I can't even get into that on my page. Mm-hmm. I bring up my desktop, I can't click anything on the bottom, that responds.
Yeah, I would try call CenturyLink and see if they might actually be able to step you through some changes on your system to communicate with theirs for internet access.
Okay.
And, that's where I would start.
That's the start.
Okay.
Now, how long have you had Windows 10 on your system?
Let's see, it was maybe just a couple weeks ago I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, I can't give you an exact date. Because like I said, I think I accidentally, because I have a touch screen.
Right.
And it said, updating to Windows 10, don't shut down. Mm-hmm. And I tried to shut down because I didn't really want to go through that at that particular moment, but it went ahead and did the whole upgrade.
So after you did the upgrade and you had Windows 10 on your system, how was it working? Was it working okay?
It was okay. It just, like I said, it seemed to gradually get to the point where, like I said, I can't do anything.
That could be a...
The other option I would do is contact Toshiba, you know, as related to the model that you're using, and see if there's anything that they, you know, that they have reports about in terms of maybe there's something running interference on your computer or a setting that has to be changed. Or it could simply be that there's a hardware issue. You know, hooking up to the internet and switching operating systems and not working and then not working, some of that could be coincidental. But it also could be, you know, that there's actually a problem with hardware. Because there's no guarantee that just because you have access to the internet with CenturyLink and their, you know, device that you're hooking up to, that the piece that's in your computer didn't fail.
Yeah.
There could be some coincidental things happening.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I've had stuff like that where you make switches, everything's working great, and all of a sudden it stops, and then it's like, you know, what's going on here? Do I go back the way I came from, or
right.
you know what? What? Why are things not working? And then you start troubleshooting it. You get into replacing things. And what I'm saying is maybe making a couple of strategic calls might lead you, you know, in the right direction. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck, Judy. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. I want to give Vicki in Berlin, a chance to join in. Vicki, hi. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi.
Have a fast question, but once every month, 2 months, I'll get an email from Google stating that they have prevented a sign-in attempt with my Google address. And I've changed my password to a harder password, but I've still received another one afterwards. They give me the details telling me the time where most of them are from foreign countries. I even called Google the one time, and he said I would look like I was doing everything right. But I don't know if it's better to switch out my Gmail address, which would be a hassle, or if there's anything else that I possibly could do to help prevent even the attempts.
Well, they know it's a valid account, so, you know, trying to actually stop somebody from attempting to do that, that would be difficult because it's, like you said, it's coming from a foreign country. I think the best thing you can do is, you know, keeping the level of difficulty for your password, you know, very high. And, you know, making sure that you don't let anything in the back door of your system. So if you're logging in on your computer, you know, make sure you're using some kind of antivirus so that if you inadvertently, you know,
right.
tag a file that it's, you know, it's picking it up.
Yeah.
And I really only look at my Gmail account on either on my phone or on my laptop at home, which...
What kind of phone do you have?
A Samsung Android.
Do you have antivirus on that?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. See...
Is there a recommended one for a phone?
We'll take a step back. The Android operating system, I'll throw a question out there and then I'll answer it. What's the difference between the Android operating system and the Apple iOS? The Apple iOS is secure. Apple is in control. The Android operating system, even though it's owned by Google, is an open operating system and there are holes in it. So you can download AVG. I've got a couple of them on my phone. I can pull it out. I'll pull it out after the break, and I'll tell people what I'm using on my phone. But they're free, and you can put them on your phone. So, you know, if you inadvertently you know, all our devices are so interconnected, and I know my phone is my communication center.
Okay.
It's with me all the time.
Correct.
It's a 24/7 thing. And I had to deal with my kids growing up, and they'd be losing phones. And this is before the smartphone era, and then it started coming along with the smartphones. And I said, you need to treat this like an appendage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because I could lose my desktop, and I would be sad, I would be hurt, and I'd be troubled. But if I lost my phone, it's a whole another level. It's a whole nother level of pain.
Yeah.
So protect your phone too, is what I'm saying.
So, and then you would just get those apps through the Play Store.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But one is called AVG, and then you'll check on the other ones that you have.
Yep.
So you can have more than one on your cell phone.
Yep.
Couple is probably good.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if they would fight against each other like they would on a PC.
I've been doing it for probably a year and a half, and they haven't been fighting.
Okay.
I switched from Apple to a Samsung phone just to see what the other world was like. Because I like to, you know, understand what other people are going through, and I had the Apple iPhone for many years. And I may switch back. I may not. I don't know. I'm just... they all have problems.
True.
My iPhone is no problem.
I woke up one Saturday morning and all my pictures were gone.
That happened to my daughter about 6 months ago.
Why?
Yeah.
All I did was wake up, look at my phone, and then I went to go show somebody a picture and they were all gone. For no reason. So
that's why I have a backup card in my phone.
Yeah, I do too. But to have to deal with it, it's just not, I don't know. So anyhow.
So there you go. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
So it sounds like you're doing all the right things, but I would protect your phone as well.
Okay. Can you also put the names of the viruses, just in case I happen to miss it in between, that you can put it on the Facebook? Larry Miller Facebook.
Yeah, she wants the antivirus program.
Right.
Names.
Yeah.
Sure.
Jill can put that up.
Okay, great.
That's out of my hands.
All right.
Jill will put that up on our Facebook page. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Kathy in Mount Horeb, it's your turn. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning. I just wanted to share with anyone who is having a problem similar to the gentleman that had called in earlier. Mm-hmm. That person had installed Windows 10 and then was having some problems.
Right.
And the recommendation was to install some additional software to find out what kind of equipment he had so he could get the drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted to say is you can actually go to the Start menu and select All Apps, and then from there select Windows Administrative Tools, and then select Computer Management, followed by Device Manager, and you can see all the different categories, and then you can select which one you might want. For example, System Devices, and you can see if you have an Intel chip, or you can go to Sound to find out what sound system you have, and then you can go directly to that company and get an update for the drivers. So you can do it directly. You can find that directly from your computer without having to install additional software to see what you have on your computer.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a great suggestion.
Yeah, it's a little bit of work.
Yep.
Yeah, but if you've got those, if once you find the device manager, and I think you can, for people that have Windows 10, they have I think it's called Cortana.
Yeah.
Something like that. And I think you can find out, you can do a query right there to find out where the device manager is under computer management, and it'll tell you how to get to that.
Makes good sense, Kathy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good tip there. And Kathleen in Madison has something for us as well, so let's go there. Hi, Kathleen.
Hello. One comment back on that fella who had the constant Adobe update prompt, an experience that I've been having lately, I think I figured maybe the same problem as his, which is that It's kind of like getting a call from somebody saying they're from your bank versus actually calling up your bank. He probably should be checking that a window pop-up really is Adobe, because there's a couple programs that actually sneak past my my pop-up blocker, and they say, please update your Adobe, but I could tell just by looking at the web address that they're trying to spam me by tricking me into thinking my Adobe's outdated. And then I can set an actual Adobe. I can set when I want it to tell me that it needs updates, even though that just, you know, they do pop up a lot. I don't deal with it like the spam things that I'm talking about. So that's one thing that fella might try out, is just look and see if he's maybe getting a spam site that's sneaking past his pop-up blocker.
Yeah, that's and a great suggestion.
And then I have a question for you.
Okay.
I have no idea why I dropped everything, but I drop everything. I have a phone that is not a smartphone because it's rated to be dropped from 20 feet, and I've tested that. And you wouldn't think I could drop a laptop as many times as I have. But, yeah. So I'm just wondering if you have any suggestions for a type of laptop that is Kathleen-proof, or at least close.
You know what, Pete? That's something for you to ponder over our news break. Okay. So stay listening, Kathleen. Peter Green of Infostar.com will be with us right up till 12:30. He'll have the answer to that question and a whole lot more right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Wonderful having you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we take a look at your personal computer today with Peter Green of Infostar.com. I'm Larry Mueller. Happy to have you along. And questions for Pete, I hope you'll join us at 800-642-1234. You're always welcome on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. I'd love to hear from you. And before our news break, Pete, Kathleen from Madison has a problem with the drops and has dropped her computers many times. What brand, what suggestions do you have for her?
So there's a couple of ways to go. One is Panasonic has made their own little niche market in selling a line of computers that are called Toughbooks. And they're basically ruggedized construction, you know, for just techs taking them out in the field, police departments, you know, taking them out in the field, things like that. So that's one approach. The other is to, you know, find probably, I'd say, two or three computers that, you know, if they're tablets or notebooks, laptops, that you would be happy with. And then do the extra research and see if somebody makes a ruggedized case that can protect it, sort of like an OtterBox for a phone, where you know you get a little extra protection because the case is made thicker and can withstand some more shock. So that's the approach I would take.
Those are the two options. Now, every month you have a top 10 list for us of great places to go, and what have you got for us today?
Okay, so they're all on, if you go to Infostar.com, and on the left side, if you go to the current top 10, or if you go to the archives and scroll down to today's date, they're all there. The first one is called Better World Books, and it's a website that actually, .com, that collects and sells books online to donate money for literacy. And they have millions of books that they've collected and sold online and funded literacy programs worldwide. The second one is a searchable database of song information where you can find out the stories behind the songs, get the lyrics, watch videos. It's called songfacts.com. The next one is if you're looking at doing something like a home theater or for projectors, it's called projectorreviews.com. And this fourth one is, you know that little UL safety label on devices?
Underwriters Laboratories.
You got it. Well, UL.com is a very useful resource. Oh. And anybody that has built a device that has been tested by them will have a letter on file and will be in their database, and you can research their database and have access to oodles of information.
That's cool.
Yep. Number five is longforecast.com, and they forecast gas and oil prices, mortgage interest rates, gold, silver, all those fun things. Number six is a free resource that helps organizing groups, so sign-ups for an event, and yep. It's called signupgenius.com. The sportle.com is a resource that covers all the major leagues and professional sports news, what's on the field and also off the field, if you're interested. Number eight is Social Security Numerology. It's a site that's to educate you about the Social Security numbers, the system, and everything about it. Number nine is av-comparatives.org, and it's an independent site that does testing on antivirus programs. And I did not look and see if they have one for phones, but that might be also a good one to check
yeah.
out. I'm sure they probably do stuff for phones.
Yeah, I bet they do.
And this last one is called cancer.gov, and it's the NIH, National Institutes of Health, National Cancer Institute, and it's our federal government resource that provides and shares information all about cancer research and what's going on in that. And there's even a dictionary of terms up there that's got like almost 8,000 cancer-related terms. Very useful.
Very, very useful. And just go to InfoStar.com in upper left corner.
And click on current. They're all there.
They're all there.
Or if you want to go back to the 250 pages, go to the archives.
Well, John in Wausau has a question for you. He doesn't want to go to the archives right this minute, wonders about something else. So, John, what have you got?
Hi. Hi. Just a question on antivirus software. I have Windows 10, and I've been using just the Windows Defender. Is that a good or bad idea? And is there something you'd recommend I use?
I would use something in addition to that. I would use something. Some of the more popular free ones are AVG and Avast, AVAST. There's Malwarebytes is also another popular one. I would not just stay with the Microsoft by itself. Companies like Microsoft and Norton are big targets, and there's no 100% guarantee that your system won't get affected. But with that being said, when you are not part of the big target, which would be Microsoft or Norton, and you're using an alternative, that means that they might be going after those guys, but not as much as the bigger fruit. So I feel your luck with that 99.9% is going to be better, you know, handled with, you know, some of those other alternatives.
Okay, and they won't conflict with Windows Defender?
Nope.
No.
Okay. And one other comment. I just got a smartphone just because I figured I should learn how to use them. I never had one before.
Yeah.
And it's a lot smarter than I am. But
yeah.
I used, because you have to have an email account, so I just created one that I don't ever intend to use. Is that a smart thing if I don't want my info being ripped off if I lose my phone or anything?
I'm a fan of email just because I use it for managing, you know, when you travel.
My smartphone doesn't ever leave my house.
Okay. All right.
So I figured I would not need it for email.
Yeah, if you change your mind, you can always, you know, change.
Install.
You can always go in the other route, which is actually using it. And so I would just make sure that you know how to access it and, you know, monitor it on occasion just to see, you know, if there is anything, you know, going on with it.
What's the new, email?
With the new email, yeah.
Okay.
I would just make sure you have access to it. Sort of like, you know, having a safety deposit box, but you don't use it, but you know where the key is in case you ever have to open it up and see that there's nothing.
Do you ever lock your phone? Is that a good idea to have
all the time?
To get it?
Yeah.
All the time. My phone locks after a minute.
Yeah, my phone.
Wow. Okay. And then you just
all the time.
It cues you when you go onto it to put in a password.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In fact,
and is that just done through the controls of the phone or?
Yes, it is. Yep. Yes. It's okay. Something that you can set up in the controls of the phone. What's interesting is the difference between the Apple and the Samsung, at least, unless I'm wrong. With the Apple, you put in your passcode, and it just, you know, when you're done entering the last piece of your passcode, it starts up.
Yep.
Same thing with
exactly
iPad.
Exactly the way it works.
With the phone on an Android, when you enter in the numbers or whatever you're putting in, and you have to hit enter.
Yeah,
you have to make that extra step. So I don't know which smartphone you got, but I think one is smarter than the other.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a Motorola. I guess maybe it's not as smart as the Samsung. I don't know.
It's not as smart as an iPhone. I can tell you that for free.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, thank you so much.
Yep, all right. Thanks a lot for calling.
And make sure you put an antivirus on it still.
Yes. Yep. Yep. We just talked about that. Thanks, John. Yep. Tony and Amory, it's your turn. Hi, Tony.
Hi.
Hi.
I got a little problem with a backup, or maybe I don't. When I go to backup on Windows 10 on my file history, it goes overview, and then it tells me size of backup. It always tells me 0 bytes. And even when I have my removable disk drive, I have over 58 gig of memory.
are you doing the Microsoft backup?
Yes.
Yeah, you should... Make sure that, you know, you go into the options and you're selecting it. You know, I mean, it can be a little tricky. And I would go review it and then, you know, have it run and, you know, see if it's actually, you know, working. Sometimes it takes a few attempts to get it to actually do it right.
Okay.
Yeah, I've used it. It's okay. I'm not a fan of it because... some of the things it's like, why didn't you do it the first time? I told you the first time to run it this way. Why didn't you do it that way? It's like, not saying, you know, you're a bad child, but, you know, just do what I tell you.
There you go, Tony. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling.
There are some other backup programs out there.
Yeah.
One that I've used, I think it's still out there, is Yadis, Yadis. And that's a free program, and there are free trials of a variety of different programs. And there's, I think even on my top 10, there's a link to Macrium, which is another one that I use for servers, I use for workstations, and it's got a lot of different control options in it. And there are others out there. You can go to PCMag.com or CNET.com and look at the reviews on them because they change every year. You know, one ups mm-hmm. another one. And then there's the free online sites that you can, you know, store 1 to 5 gigabytes of space. And Dropbox as a solution.
Dropbox.
And Gmail you can put important files to also. So there are a lot of options out there.
Stephen Wausau, we turn to you. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I had the problem with Windows 10 when I first got on. Well, it wasn't when I first got on. It was maybe a couple weeks later, and all of a sudden I got cut out of my Wi-Fi and everything, and I called a lot of people, and their suggestion was, like yours, call the phone company, make sure everything is compatible, the whole, you know, what's your operating system. And I even went to a United Way had a Windows class here, Windows 10. They had three of them, and went to that and used my phone just so I could learn the system a little bit. But while I was there with my computer, someone accidentally, their sound came on, and everybody was, well, push that button. Well, they were pushing all these hot buttons up on the top, and I looked up at the top, and I've got a F3 button that has a little radio antenna on it. And I must have inadvertently pushed that and turned off my Wi-Fi.
Hmm. Yep, I've seen that happen. And I've seen people do it on their routers, too.
Yeah, and I think those are all the things that probably could be checked. And mm-hmm. And the other thing I learned in the United Way class was clean everything up like you say. your recycle bin, keep all that clean, and things run a lot smoother. So thanks for taking my
call. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Thanks for the call. You know, it's a great thing. That's another thing that's overlooked, but unless you're actually there, I've seen it where that button is hit, you know, to turn off the Wi-Fi. But in some cases, I had to physically be there because the Wi-Fi button on the router was off. And, you know, and you don't know what router they're using. You're not seeing that, and that's their internet connection.
Sure.
So, but the earlier caller was describing where she was having a problem. She was saying it was getting worse and worse. So, you know, it would be great if it was that simple. You press a button or a function key. But in some cases, if something's symptomatic of it getting worse and worse over time, then it might also be, you know, another cause.
Mary in Iowa County has something for us. Mary, hi. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hello. Thanks for taking my call. I have a problem that I think maybe everybody dreads, but I got a message on my desktop that says your files are encrypted. And then it has like about 8 more lines of message. Says an ID number and download and install the Tor browser. And just looking at it now, write down this information. I haven't done any of that, so I wondered what I should do. Should I follow that or do something else?
I would actually turn off your computer. And
yep, I've done that. This was like a couple days ago.
Is it a laptop?
No.
It's a desktop?
It's an old desktop.
And you said it came up with a message that your files are encrypted?
Yep. Yeah. It's right on the it overlays all the everything.
Yeah.
I can use email, and I can get to the internet, but I can't open any files.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have somebody take a look at your system. It might have what's called ransomware installed.
Yeah, what I was dreading.
Yeah, has it been asking you for money?
No. Just that message to go to that Tor project .org browser.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you don't know do you know what Tor is?
No.
Yeah, I would have somebody take a look at your system and, you know, tell them what you're going through, and they might be able to remove what's on it, you know, that's causing the conflicts.
Okay.
And hopefully, you know, not too much has been damaged as far as files and things like
that.
Yeah. It might be just like a warning over the you know, just like a warning
Cross
shot.
The bow.
Yeah.
You know, just saying, hey, you know, get your attention.
It's got my attention. I didn't want to do anything.
Right. Yeah. And, yep.
All right. There you go, Mary. Good luck. Thank you. And Victoria in Duluth, Minnesota, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I put in Windows 10 in December, or I should say my brother did. And in the latter part of April, when I went to go check my email on Outlook, and my browser is MSN, up popped a screen. There is a problem connecting securely to this website. The security certificate presented by this website is not secure. Security certificate problems may indicate an attempt, and blah, blah, blah. Okay. And when once a month I do my maintenance, and I have malware bytes, and Defender came with a 10, and SpyBot, and, you know, all these things. But I do all of them at the end of the month. And Windows Defender, when I went to do that, came up with exactly this same screen. And I don't have Windows Defender anymore. And I looked in my programs, I don't have it on my computer. And yet every once in a while, from the right side comes that little flash, a message flash saying that I'm not secure, and click here if you want your Windows Defender installed. Mm-hmm. And I do that, and nothing happens. Or either nothing happens, or I get that screen that I just read off to you.
Right.
However, when I lift up the screen on the lower left side of my computer, and with, you know, above Cortina's thing, and Outlook comes, mail comes up there, I can access Outlook, no problem, just fine.
What do you think, Pete?
Well, one is I would get something. You just have Windows Defender on your system for antivirus?
No, I've got malware bites,
okay.
And I've got SpyBot.
So have you run those programs? Have you run scans with them?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
And I used the PC cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It sounds like something is, like some of the Windows operating system files may be having, I don't know if they got corrupted or if they're, causing some issues. There's a scan check that you can run on your system. You'll probably have to do some research online. I don't remember the exact. I think it's like scan now. /F, but you have to run it in the command window, the command prompt. So look for scan now, scannow, and see what comes up. And there are pages online that reference how to go through that. And what it'll do is it'll check all your Windows files and make sure that they're all the right versions. And if there are any problems with them, it usually corrects them and tells you that it did that.
And
that's it's a Microsoft action, or program that runs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not somebody else's. It's actually Microsoft, and it's on your system. It comes with it.
Okay, I guess I'm confused. What am I looking for exactly here?
It's called Scan.
It's called Scan Now.
And what you need to do is do a search on how to actually run it on your system. And it's going to look and make sure that the integrity of all your Windows files are intact. And if it found problems, it'll tell you that it found problems. And if it corrects them, or if it has problem correcting them, it'll let you know as well.
Okay. But Scan Now, do I find this in programs?
You have to find it online because it's going to step you through how to find it on your computer and how to actually run it.
Yeah.
It will step you through. There are sources out there, pages, that tell you how to do that step by step.
So you go to your search engine and you type that in.
Right. Yep.
And then what pops up is...
So go to Google or Yahoo, and there'll be there are people who have written pages about how to use it.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling in. Victoria, appreciate your call. And Pete, here we are, out of time, really.
Time flies.
Yeah, Rich had a note about copying and pasting texts on Windows 10. We don't have quite enough time to deal with it, probably. So at this point, we will say goodbye, and you're going to be back again.
Yep, in August.
August, and yep. We will do this all over again. And so appreciate having you with us, Pete. Thank you so much.
Yep, you bet.
Peter Green, computer consultant with Infostar.com, and he comes and visits with us regularly to help with your personal computer problems, and he will be back in August, and we'll do this all over again with him. Taking a look just at one, Kathleen Dunn will be talking about the voting rights for all citizens, the sort of the history of the long struggle with that. Tomorrow at this time, Sandy Sawchuk joins me. We'll talk about separation anxiety in your pup and thunderstorm phobia. And, of course, she will answer all your pet health questions. So that's tomorrow at 11 o'clock. In the meantime, boy, it's been fun. Thank you so much for listening. And please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.